Welcome to John Wayne Lied to You, the storytelling podcast featuring me, your good old buddy, your pal. You can call me Al. I'll be your bodyguard. I'll be your right guard. I'll be your deodorant and your antiperspirant. I'm that dedicated. That's right. John Wayne here with you today. Back in the Houston, the dirty third, home. Here I am. Glad to be back. Of course, I'm nestled tightly and nicely in the east wing of Wayne Manor in the Library of Evil, where we conduct such meetings as this every week. I, of course, have Grandpappy's medicine, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I first of all want to apologize. This one's coming out a day late. Usually comes out on Monday, as is advertised, and I have not missed that at all this year, but I was traveling all day Monday, so I am home this afternoon, Tuesday. I'm recording this and putting it right up, so there you go. I'm still here. I'm still dedicated to the cause. I just literally was like flying all day yesterday, like from, you know, just from like pretty much 2:30 to 10:30. That sums it up. Yeah, with layovers and everything else. And it was a long time, a trip, but a long day of traveling, but well worth it. And I will discuss that in full a little bit later, my travels and my adventures. But other than that, leading up to me heading to Chicago for Printer's Row, the week was okay. You know, I was sick last week leading up before I went out of town. I want to thank you to everyone who did reach out and give me feedback on the last episode about the unfortunate time I had at the gig I was playing up at that place that I shall not name because I don't want to give it any advertising, to be quite honest. But so I thank you for all those who reached out and had some stories of their own and seemed to commiserate with me at least on that experience. I appreciate it very much. But as you know, if you did listen to that episode, I was sick basically all day Sunday, all day Monday when I did that episode. Tuesday, I was still sick. But I was feeling better Tuesday afternoon, evening. I was on the mend. And I went to Neo Benchy Tuesday night to host Neo Benchy at the Secret Group. And I have to say it was our best show since we started this kind of reboot of the series, if you will, the kind of changes that we've implemented in the way the show runs and incorporating the storyline of the sketches that happen in between the performances. It took us a little bit to get our sea legs, I guess, and but this past one on Tuesday, it was awesome. It was a great show. Thank you to everyone who came. It sold out. There was standing room that was taken up in the back. All the seats were gone. It was awesome. So if you did miss it, you should come to the next one. It's the first Tuesday of every month at the Secret Groups. If you're in Houston, it's at 8 o'clock and it's only $5 and it's a really fun show. But that was great. Then Wednesday, I went to work. That was the only day I went to the day job because I was sick before I had to go out of town. So, I just spent Wednesday basically just getting ready, preparing, get packing. I had to get all my inventory together, figure out, you know, I always do this, you know, I end up packing my suitcase entirely full of my shit that I have to sell at the convention. And I have no room for anything else. Like my suitcase was packed to the gills when I left, with, you know, I had records, so I had to put those in a box and keep them safe. And, all my books were in there, as well as all of the I took a bunch of my author t-shirts up there, as well. And I decided to take 5 of each size. I don't know. It's better to be over-prepared, right, than under-prepared. But, you know, I ended up selling 2 shirts, which is great. But check out author John Wayne is Dead, awesome dude for life. Author shirts on johnwayneisdead.com at the shop. Only $20. So I just had a bunch of shit in my bag, man. It was packed. And so I had to, you know, and I had my backpack that I have my laptop and shit in. And I basically just rolled up my t-shirts and just shoved them in there and my toiletries and everything, and just had a really full backpack and a stuffed full suitcase, and hit the road early, Thursday morning. My flight left at 6:05, I believe, or 6:15, something very early. So I had to get up very early, but it was great. It was awesome. I had such a great time, and I'm going to tell that. That's what I'm going to, you know, be covering during the story part of the show today. So I don't want to get, you know, I don't want to get too into the meat of that. You know, save it for later. Just the tip though was very good, very fun. Learned a lot. You'll hear all about it. But first, I want to jump into our tarot reading for this week. A 3-card tarot reading, which I do every week on myself, just basically helps me to kind of write my mind, think about things that I'm experiencing in a different way under like this kind of specific filter, I guess, of what these cards mean. And that's it. And I just think about it, and it just helps me. And this was actually really, really good reading today. You know, I sat down and was shuffling up the cards and just thinking about, you know, all these experiences I've had so far in the last couple of months of going to cons, traveling, and then how, you know, that led up, and now I was at Printer's Row, and what I learned there, and what I want to continue accomplishing. All those things are going through my head when I'm shuffling the cards. I take a little drink, man. My throat's still not 100%. But this is very interesting. So I'm thinking about the convention and, you know, everything I did there, and just like the work it took to get there and everything like that. And then I draw these cards. The first one I draw is a 7 of Wands. Now, I've had this card before, but I felt like this was especially... Oh, hey, Cerberus. I feel like this is especially applicable to today, like to what I was thinking, to what I just experienced and have been experiencing. So the 7 of Wands is basically represents that you've reached an achievement. You know, I look at it as, you know, I kind of view what I'm doing in writing and music and artistically as levels. You know, you're on certain levels or tiers. There's no real, I don't know, super discerning benchmark, but you just kind of know when you rise to a different tier. And I've been fighting, or not fighting, but working very hard. The card shows a guy who's up like on this ledge. He's fighting people who are trying to, you know, poke him with their long wands, and he's fighting them down with his, because he's basically, you know, this represents you fought so hard to get to this level. Now, to maintain it, you have to fight and work even harder, you know. And I look at that as, you know, I wanted before I really had anything published and was trying to get it going, it was like, you know, I started to get pushed through a few short stories and got those published, and that was it. I was in, you know, I was on the basement level. And you get a little more of those, a couple more, got into some anthologies, that's another level, you know. And then, you know, fast forward to today, I have 5 books published. My 6th one comes out June 29th, Scummer, on Grindhouse Press. You can pre-order now. And it's like, I've reached all these different levels. I've kept going up, and I like that. But it just made me think, like, when you get to this level, and now I'm working, I know, to maintain that, the level that I'm at right now, and to ascend, it's a lot more work than I've ever done. That's what it's going to take. You know, it's not just like you can't get up there and rest and be like, oh, I did it. You can, but you'll just, you know, peter out, I guess, for lack of a better term, you know, and just allow people. You know, this card, when I talked about this card last time, it's about, you know, you getting your success, getting that level, and not letting people take that success from you or pull you down from your success, because that is what people will try to do. You know, when you reach this level, you've worked so hard, there will be certain people who will marginalize your success. They'll try to, you know, pull you down because, just because that's how they are. They don't know any other way than to just pull the people who are passing them up down, rather than celebrating and being like, "Awesome, you did it! I'm gonna be there one day. I'm working hard to be there, man." Instead of having that attitude, it's like, "They don't deserve it. Fuck them. Fucking who are you?" Those are the people that are trying to pull you down. Those are the people trying to marginalize the things that you've worked very hard for, or you know, the way I see it. And you have to not only ignore those people, but separate yourself from those people especially something you know that's actively going on. You know, you have friends in your life that are telling you this kind of shit. So I looked at it like that. You know, I've worked hard. The second half of this now hard work that I'm doing is traveling to these cons, is making these connections with people. That's what it takes. You know, I've got this stuff out there. Now I've got to push it out there even harder. I want it to be in people's hands. I want to connect with people. And, you know, that's a lot harder than just, I mean, not just, I mean, that is more work and different kind of work than it is actually creating the art, writing the books. That's a different kind of work. And, it's a different kind of energy that goes into that than the maintaining of fighting the level, getting to that level, and doing what it takes to maintain it. It's a different kind of energy. I hope I don't know if I'm confusing myself now, because I'm retarded. We can't say that. I'm sorry. I'm an idiot. But the main thing though is that you have to realize with this card that is saying you're not going to win all the time against these people. And by that, I mean, you cannot please everyone all the time. So there will be haters, there will be detractors, people that will cast aspersions upon you for your things that you've achieved. But, you know, you can't please them. And the last thing you want to do is compromise yourself or what you're doing to, for whatever reason, try to get these people on your side. You'll just lose all the people you originally had that were on your side. Don't water yourself down. Be true to yourself. You know, don't compromise. Maintain that level. Know that that work is coming. And that speaks to me in a way that, like, yes, I'm experiencing that now. I'm finding out how hard it is to go to these to go to a convention and, you know, expend so much energy and talk to literally a few hundred, maybe 200 to 300 people over 2.5 days of a convention. It's a lot of energy. It's different than what it took to create the art that I'm there promoting. It's anyway. So the next card I got was the Two of Wands. Now, this also went right in hand. This represents the planning and progressing of your idea, and it's now feasible and will lead to your success. It's not just an idea anymore. It's not just an idea anymore. And that is what struck me as, again, kind of like reaching what was in the last card, reaching that level, reaching any level and maintaining it. You know, you have the idea of the level that you want to reach, where what you want to do, and then you reach it. It's not an idea anymore. And for me, that's kind of like the newness of traveling and doing the cons, you know, and having somewhat of a career, the start of the career in the arts and writing and music. And it's not an idea anymore. It's a thing. And that's something it's important to remember. However, you must plan to ensure it's carried out as you intended. This card's a lot about planning. Planning for the future, long term, basically. You're encouraged to explore new ideas and step out of your comfort zone as you plan for long term future goals. Like I just said, I kind of got ahead of myself, but you know, that's I'm going to talk about printer's row, but there was there was some uncomfortability there. That was not my comfort zone for sure. Starting to go to these cons, like I said, I had a, you know, my first one, I had a moment of like, oh shit, can I do this? You know, but I did, and it's pushing yourself to get out of the comfort zone, and do it, because that's how you're going to grow, and plan, make the plans so that you will be successful in that, which is what I'm attempting to do, like all this traveling and these cons. Third card, the Fool. Story of my life. Now, this is a nice little tie at the end of this reading, because the Fool represents the unlimited potential of your creativity. You're ready for anything, and you have no worry or anxiety about what comes next. Now, that kind of contradicts the plan, you know, make sure you're planning, but the way I look at it is, yes, make sure I'm planning, but don't lose that feeling of or that worry-free attitude. Don't let that go by the wayside because I'm sweating something else or I'm planning something else. You need to maintain that anxiety-free, carefree, devil-may-care attitude, I feel. Because for me, it's like, well, it's worked all this, you know, up to now. Why should I stop? So I think that's important also just for mental health and focus. With this card, you're to take a chance. Columbus did. Take a chance and trust the universe. Live fearlessly. That is very important. I try every single day to live fearlessly, and it's always, you know, it's of course it's always a work in progress, and it's easier said than done, but I've been working on it for a while, and there's not very many things that I'm really afraid of anymore. I can say that with confidence. And that's what the Fool is. The Fool is kind of like, you know, with these last two cards, it was kind of heavy. It's kind of heavy in that, like, you get to a level, now you got to fight for it, and you got to work really hard, and you know, the next card, you've got a plan, you know, you can do this, it's not an idea, the thing is real now, however, you've got a plan so that you can get through it, and you know, and step out of that comfort zone. And then you get to this last card, and it's kind of like, this carefree attitude, and it's like, don't lose that. That's the way I look at this, like, don't lose that. Don't start, you know, letting this become some kind of weird, you know, have some kind of job stigma that starts to hang over what I'm doing. Don't let this become, I don't lose sight of what you originally wanted this to be, I guess. And just don't let people pull me down. Don't let people take your success from you. And when I say take your success from you, I view that in the way of like what I was saying, like people basically marginalizing what you do and telling you it's really not that important or that special, because they're, you know, they're not happy with themselves. So this is how they want to pull you down to their level so that they can commiserate. So that was the reading. And I hope that, you know, if you out there listening got something out of this, this one for me was just, it hit on the head, especially coming right from Printer's Row and having that experience. And basically, man, I'm just hopping and humping it these next, you know, several weeks. I'm on the all day, every day, every week experience of doing crazy stuff, traveling, doing stuff. So this reading hit a good note, a good thing for me, and I appreciate it. Appreciated that. All right. So, like I said, I was in Chicago for the last 5 days, and what a time! So, without further ado, we'll jump into our story this week. Printer's Row. I'm going to call this Printer's Row Recap, comma, Wieners. So, this past weekend, I was in Chicago for a very large event called Printer's Row. This is my first time at this event, and what it is, it's it's a big, I guess the way to describe it is a literary event. It is, they close down a whole city block downtown, and you know, you can rent, purchase a table, just like a vendor table, like you would at a convention, that line the sidewalks. And if you have a lot of money and you're really special and important, you can pay for one of these really big areas that they put in the middle of the street that were all like covered, like tented and covered, you know, type thing. And you weren't allowed to bring any kind of extra shit like that to your side tables. They were less expensive than that, and so there was all these restrictions on them for whatever reason, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But whatever, I don't fucking run this event. But it's literally like I don't know, 100, at least 100 tables? I don't know, I'm probably exaggerating. But 60, 50 tables at least, a lot, all up and down the street is packed. And people are selling books. There's books, like bookstores will have a bunch of their inventory out on shelves. That's an example. A lot of literary associations, writing associations, like, you know, for example, we were there representing the Bizarro Writers Association. So that was what was on the front of our table. But there was like, you know, the Chicago Writers Association, literary this or whatever. And then there's just Joe Schmo, who's like, I collected all the first editions of these books when I was buying shit. Now I don't care, so I'll sell them at this thing. You know, it's some of that stuff too. And then, you know, you have a few of the gems of the rough of, you know, the actual authors there with their books from the publishers trying to sell them and get them out there as well. And that's what we were doing. So like I said, very big event, just very, lots of people. I was very excited, you know, to go to this event. So I flew up there and we were hosted by the wonderfully talented Michael Allen Rose, who, lives up there in Chicago, his fellow Bizarro author and, musician, he plays in an awesome industrial band called Flood Damage. And, He and his lovely lady Sada Namir hosted us at his apartment, which was rad. I get there on Thursday afternoon, and the only other person who's there in town before me is the one and only Danger Slater. So I'm on the corner showing some leg after I get off the L train, and they come by, scoop me up in their car. And off we go into the sunset of merriment. And really, the first day, it was just us three. And, you know, of course, we just, you know, palled around like a bunch of pallies and cracked jokes and, of course, had good times like that. But, you know, we spent a lot of time talking and just catching up on stuff. But also, you know, I really value these times that I have when I have conversations with fellow authors, fellow writers, because it's not something, I don't get that kind of interaction a lot, and it's very, very, it's a very nice feeling to know that people are like, have these shared experiences, that they can relate to the things that you are about to do or have done or are going through or having this experience or that experience. And it's nice to sit and just talk with people about that and share things. And I think that, I don't know, it's invaluable to me. I mean, I can't speak for anyone else, but I feel like when I have these conversations, like I had up there with, you know, just the three of us, or like I've had with David Barbie when we've been to the couple conventions we've been to, I learn something every single time. I take something away, and the most part, it's just like such a good feeling, like a feeding, like I'm full. I know everything's going to be all right. I don't know. It's very, it's just a very rewarding time. So enough of that, you know, we're cracking on each other. We're having a good time. We drink some beers, whatever. We're hanging out like some pallies. we played some Quiplash and all that. And, you know, Thursday was just like, just chilling out, hanging out, getting ready. We got some of the inventory ready for the event, and that was that. And Friday, and I was confused. I thought that this event started on Friday and went to Sunday. It turns out it started on a Saturday. So now we have this whole extra day that I didn't even know we had. So like I said, I've never been to Chicago before, but Michael and Danger and I walked around his neighborhood. We went to Stan's Donuts, which is like some crazy donut place, but I had a bagel because, you know, anarchy. And you know, we went to some cool bookstores. There's this, you know, awesome bookshop called Quimby's. Hey, Four Eyes, vote Quimby. Hey, Beardo, vote Quimby. Quimby's. And it was, the majority of the store was really all zines, independent comics and independent magazines, local authors, small indie press authors, and that was it. It was really cool. If you're in like the Chicago area, it's in Wicker Park. Quimby's is very fucking cool. And then I can't remember the name of the used bookstore we went to, but I wish I could, and I wish I could have stopped there again before we left, because they had some really great, great stuff there as well. So we just kind of walked around, we're doing our thing, and then a little bit later, we were joined by our next member of our party, Mr. Caleb Wilson, who lives, I guess, like somewhere outside of Chicago, and he comes flying in to meet us on a train. So the train didn't fly, but you know, I like to think he flew in on wings of an angel, because that's what he is. He is one of the new Bizarro authors for this year, and it's interesting because this is the first year they've kind of changed the traditional way they've done new Bizarro author series, where, you know, they always come out at BizarroCon all at once. So no matter if there's like three new Bizarros that year or eight new Bizarros, the books come out at BizarroCon. This time they changed it. They changed up the cover. There used to be a standard kind of border that went around all the books that, you know, let you know this was a new Bizarro author series book. Well, now they took that away, which is great, because I wasn't too fond of that. I don't think a lot of people were. So they get like a full cover without any kind of border around it, and they release them like on this kind of quarterly schedule. So I think that is great, because it allows like the group of the new Bizarro author series for that year to kind of be able to help each other out more, because it's not like all the books are out and you want to help your class, if you will, but you know, you got to sell your book too. Now it's like, this book comes out, let's all help push, you know, this book comes out, let's all help push that book. So I think it's pretty cool that they did that now. And so he was there, Caleb was there to sell his new book, Polymer, which was his new Bizarro author series book. I picked it up. I haven't read it yet, but I can't wait, because he describes it as Castlevania meets the movie Purple Rain. And if you just hearing that sentence doesn't make you want to read that book, I don't know if we can be friends anymore, really. But he came and he showed up, and like, you know, of course, and we already have like a day and a half of just like this broed out bonding time. It's broed out is like, you know, three little artsy soft boys can be. But he shows up, he stepped right in line, he fell right in with it, just rolled with the punches. And you know, I got to meet Caleb at BizarroCon last year. That was his first one. And I had lunch with him one day, and we got to chat, and I already, like, you know, built a rapport. I liked him then, but now, you know, we got to spend some more time together, and I fucking hate this guy. No, I'm joking. He's great. I love him. It was very cool. So now we're like bonding and doing this, and then, you know, later on in the evening, Sada joins us, and then a couple of Michael's friends, PJ and Courtney, who are both in the arts of, you know, camera-ing and movies and photography. They were at BizarroCon last year too. I had to meet them there, and now spend more time with them, and that was great. We just kind of like, again, we got a lot of the inventory ready. You know, we played Quiplash again, and somehow Michael got us guys, Danger and Caleb and myself, to like clean his entire apartment. You know, but he did it in that way of like, kept asking so nicely and telling us, you guys don't have to do this. You guys, to where we're like, oh, just shut up. We'll do it already. But no, it wasn't. We wanted to do it because he was having this party, getting ready for the big party on Saturday night, and we needed to just help him get all that shit together. And so we really, like, we cleaned the shit out of his apartment. And it looked really good. So, you know, you're welcome, Michael. But, you know, so we get through that. But now here's the fun is going to start. Saturday morning, we're waiting. That's the start of Printer's Row. Now, here's the thing. It's been pretty overcast and a little drizzly for the last 2 days, Thursday and Friday. And Friday night, it rains pretty damn hard for most of the night. And we're kind of worried because it's like a rain or shine event, but it's outside. So what sucks about that is, like, okay, rain or shine, we are expected, I guess, to be out there in the rain with books. But if it's raining outside, who's going to be at the event to do it? So we were just kind of, that was like a worry. That we were just kind of like, damn, what do we do, man? So we were just kind of hoping for the best. And we got, the next day, we got packed up early. It was fucking raining. We soldiered on down there, and it stopped. It let up raining when we got there, and we actually got to set up. But our tables are like these, you know, they're like the long kind of like fold-up tables. I guess they're like 6 feet, and we had two together. But they're wood on top, you know? So the rain that rained on them all night is just this, or puddles on them, and it's soaked into the wood. So we're trying to, like, desperately figure this, like, out. We've brought towels, we've brought tarps, we've taken all these precautions. Good thing we had Sada there, because she just, like, pretty much figured it all out for us and really organized us. We would have probably, I'm not sure. We might have actually set our table on fire somehow in the rain if she hadn't been there to help us. But she got it all organized. We got everything dried off. We put like layers of tarp down. Basically, we unfolded a big, like, clear plastic tarp that we had, put it down across the tables, laid out all the books on top of this tarp that was on top of the table, and then covered the books, like folded it back over the books, so it's clear, but it's like, it's fucking sprinkling, and it's more than sprinkling at times. Like, it'll rain for a little while and then kind of let up, and we've got towels, we're trying to, like, clean off the, you know, damp, the dab at the puddles that are forming on our display, you know, on the tarp, so people can see. So it's a little bit of hard going there at the beginning, and I'll be quite honest with you, I had a moment there at the beginning where I was like, I don't know how comfortable I am right now. Not in any kind of bad way, but what I mean is that, like, this, you know, I've been going to these other conventions. This is not like what I've been doing. I've been at a table with one or two other people who are, you know, I know, obviously, and we're there and we're working. It's more, I guess, direct. Like, I know what I was doing. I know what I'm working with. Now I'm standing in front of 12 feet of table with five indie presses represented. And I'm going to take a guess, but maybe 60 titles. You know, that's a lot of fucking books. And there's a lot of people there, too. It's not just a couple of people there to do this selling. You know, there's me, Michael, Danger, Caleb, Sada, and then we were joined by the great and powerful John Bruni, who I got to meet in the flesh for the first time. Bruni is a most excellent author, and he was the editor on Chargeland, and he did a great job. And, you know, we've only been communicating through emails and social media, so to meet him was a real treat, and we hit it off right away. He showed up shortly after we set up, so we got him some tarp room. We get him under there and his books. So now there's even more books. And we're kind of sitting there like, well, okay, between everybody, you know we can at least tell people what all the books are about, because between all of us, we've read them all. Plus, we have our books, so we can do that. And I was just a little bit overwhelmed and kind of uncomfortable because it was like an extra like a element of difficulty laid upon this, in that it's fucking raining, man. And it's, the traffic is slow at the thing already, just at the start, and it's just kind of like, I don't know how I feel about this, man. I don't even know how I'm gonna do this. I was very scattered in it, right? We get a couple hours in, and it does clear up, and we're able to pull the tarp off. We're able to set things up on book stands so we can create some levels and some space. And we start getting some traffic. And right away, once I talked to maybe like two people, I was like, boom, I snapped out of that funk, whatever I was in, and I was like, oh, I got this. And then it just became a very, very enjoyable time of selling books, because what happens is, you know, you're up there, people come up, we're talking to them, hey, we greet them, you know, we pretty much let them know, welcome to the weird table, you know, or these are the weirdest books you'll find, and we pretty much are the weirdest table there, and you know, we have great covers, so that draws people over, and then we start talking to them. And after, you know, a while, like, you're, you know, of course, you know, you're like, well, my name's John Wayne, here's my book, and I give a pitch for Death Packs or whatever, or Charge Land, and then, you know, you got Caleb pitch his book, Danger's pitching Michael, you know, and you get to know exactly what's kind of like everybody's, I don't know, you just fall into this kind of like back and forth trading of and a flow of energy, if you will. And you're able to, like, now you're starting to pitch other people's books, you know, people would say, like, you know, why people do this, I have no fucking idea. But there would be people that would walk up and just like say to one of us, what's the best thing on the table? And I had an answer right away. I was like, I Will Rot Without You, Danger Slater, right here. And I helped sell that a couple of times because I genuinely thought it was the best book on the table. And I was able to tell them why. And then we're all doing that for each other. And it's really fucking cool. We really have a community, at least in this, in the indie lit scene that at least I'm involved in. You know, there really is a lot of camaraderie. There's a lot of positive energy and helping of each other. Now, it's not perfect. We have a few outliers that would want nothing to do with helping others. But, you know, with that group, I won't speak for everybody. I know that we all do help each other. But right there, it was evident. I mean, it was happening. It was so much support. There was zero ego at that table. It was all just love for everybody. And, you know, and it was fun to sell, like, the, you know, there's all these other authors that aren't there, but their books are there, and they're our friends. So it's, of course, we're happy to, like, oh, you got to read this one. Oh, you got to check out this, you know, because why not? You know, because that's what we need to do. I mean, everything helps. The tide comes in, all the ships go up, you know, and that's just what we were doing. It's fucking beautiful. It started flowing, and it was great. Then we were joined a little bit later by my little brother, the wonderfully awesome Josh Spicoli, showed up. He helped me out, you know, a little grandpappy in medicine, because, you know, had to get some, and he came through. He showed up, he started helping, and man, the day turned completely around. We managed to have good weather for the rest of the day. Now, it was cloudy, it might have drizzled a couple more times, but people were there, traffic was coming through, sales were happening, it was fun. That night was the party that Michael throws traditionally ever since they've been doing Printer's Row, that's curated with readings from writers that are there, and music. And there was a lot of people reading at this one, like maybe 10 readers, I want to say, 9 or 10. But we split it up right in the middle, and it flowed really nicely. Spicoli gave his very first reading, and he did an excellent job. Michael Allen Rose did a brand new reading for his new book that just came out. That's Something of Heaven. I forget. It's not. I can't find my notes right now. But Michael Allen Rose is a new book, so get it, and I'll post it. But I bought it, and he actually sold out at the con of it. So you know, better luck next time. But he did a new reading, and it was very cool, very involved with this whole, like, bathroom wall that he made, like, out of actual sheets of tile. And I pulled pieces off. It was amazing. You have to see it. We were also joined, when we got to the house to start setting up for the party, Andrew Goldfarb, a.k.a. The Slow Poisoner, was there awaiting for us. And he was on tour and came through and is going to be performing at the party and helping us at the table. And the party got, you know, started. There was a lot of people there, you know, in this small apartment. And it was very cool. And it's like everybody there was, like, attentive to what was going on. You know, you could have went back in the kitchen and, like, chilled and or went outside and talked. But, like, it seemed like everybody there was interested in what was happening with these readings. I got up. I closed out the readings, and I told a story that, if you're a listener, you know, it's the caught story. I believe it's episode 2 of this podcast, where I talk about my long guy caught me jerking off, and it went over well. Like, I felt really relaxed, and I just kind of had the timing all lined up and dropping those beats in there, and it went really well. So I was happy with that. And then we did music. Michael played a Flood Damage set. I got up there and just in classic John Wayne style, just ripped out 5 songs and basically just dropped the guitar and left. And that went awesome. Like, people were really receptive and into it. And then Andrew Goldfarb got up and he did a Slow Poisoner set. And then we just partied, man. And it was a great time. There was so much good energy going on, so much happiness. It was really great. Sunday we get up and it's pouring rain, like raining harder than it has since we've been there. We drive down back to the convention through the rain. We get there. It lets up a little bit, enough for us to pull all our stuff. You know, we got tubs, you know, to put everything in. And now we kind of set up our table like we did last time with the whole tarp method. But it's raining, like, a lot and longer Sunday. Like, it's just... I think it was just like rain. It was raining on our parade, so to speak, because we were just kind of like, man, this sucks. Like, there's no one here. It won't stop raining. What the fuck? But I'll tell you what, man. People that were there with umbrellas, you know, and all that shit. People that, you know, weirdos that'll come out to things no matter what, were coming up to our table and buying shit. We were selling people shit from under the tarp. Just like, talking about it, pulling out the books, here, you want to take a look at this one? But we were pitching. I mean, it was amazing that we were selling books from under a rain-covered tarp. It was very cool that we were making it work. And Sunday, again, turned into a great day for us. You know, the weather was definitely shitty all day, don't get me wrong. But we fucking, you know, we powered through it. We didn't just power through it, like, we succeeded through it. And it was very, very cool. And after that, we closed up. We took everything in. We went and had a nice family dinner together. It was myself, Danger, Michael, Sada, PJ, Courtney, Caleb, and Andrew. So that's the group, right, that we're all together. Now, they started this tradition, I believe, last year after Printer's Row, of going to a Korean spa. I've never been to a Korean spa. But I understood from the get-go that there was a lot of nudity involved. And I have to tell you, I was a bit trepidatious about this going in. I'm not a naked guy. I mean, I walk around my house naked, and I certainly don't like wearing shirts. But I don't know, just like something about sitting in a hot tub naked with a bunch of guys. I don't know. I just didn't want to show my dick. All right, that's what it boils down to. And then we're just joking the whole time leading up to it, like you know, I can't wait to see you guys' dicks. You know, like just palling around. So if you don't know how this kind of thing works, there's a part of it called the wet spa. And there's a woman's side and a man's side. And it's basically, you go in, you take off all your clothes, you don't have a towel, you don't have shit. There's a bunch of showers along the where the baths are, basically. You shower up, and then you get in these hot, super, super hot, hot tubs, but they're not hot tubs. It's just like a little pool or bath, or I don't know. So, you know, after we all take showers, and it's kind of like, all right, we're just all naked, and I'm like, oh man, I'm trying to chub up a little bit before I go out there. I'm trying to like think of boobs. It's so hard to think of boobs when there's a bunch of naked guys around you. Because we weren't the only ones in there. I mean, there's not a bunch of dudes, but at least like 15 other guys like hanging out in there, just like wang out. So I guess like the long and short of this is literally, you know, we all got naked. We all saw each other's dicks, and just can't win them all, folks. That's all I'll say. Just can't win them all. But it was fun still. You know, there was a steam room, a sauna. I've never been into one of those, like a steam room. It was super fucking hot, you know, and it's hard to breathe and you're sweating. So that was interesting. And then you actually do get to put on clothes and go to this middle part that's co-ed. There's all these crazy rooms. There's a pyramid room, an amethyst room, a charcoal room, and these are all heated to different temperature, like different degrees of heat, and you just kind of go in and you lay in these rooms and just kind of look up. There's crystals, the pyramid, you're looking up to a big pyramid top that's opened up at the top, and there's this one, I forget what it's called, like salutatorium or solatorium or something. It was like an oven, like it was very hot in there. It was the hottest one they had, and you go and sit in there where you just like explode into sweat, and you have to sit on a mat because the ground gets super hot. And they cook eggs in there. Like, that's like the funny thing they do is, you know, put a rack of eggs up on the shelf they have in there, and then they sell them at the cafe they have at the spa. So they had that. They had an ice room, which was not as cold as I wanted it to be, but it was cold. It's pretty cold, I guess. You know, and a rock room where you lay on a hot rock like a lizard and all this. And there was an oxygen room that I just cold fell asleep for like 20-25 minutes in there. And you get kind of loopy, like all the oxygen, I guess the extra oxygen, except for Danger. Danger is immune to oxygen. Well, maybe he's immune to fun. Now, he like was like, you guys are, I'm not into this. I'm going. I think he sat under the red lasers or something, because there's an infrared room. But so we did all the rooms. What a time, and we were very, very relaxed, and we stayed there until 2 a.m. You could stay the night though at those places, and there were people staying the night. You pay an extra $10 and you don't have to leave. You stay. You could stay in those rooms all night. You could have your dick out and be in a bath all night. You don't have to leave. It's crazy. I know some of you are probably like, yes, that's how a Korean spa works. But I'm like, I've never been there before. I've never done anything like that. It was cool. Would do again, I guess. It was cool. Lots of wieners. Lots of fun. But yeah, and that capped off. We were there till 2 a.m. and then we like dipped, and everyone just melted to sleep that night, I believe. And then there it was, Monday morning, time to start getting your shit together. And you know, we had one last nice little breakfast, this very cool place in Michael's neighborhood. And my plane was leaving first, jumped on the L, took it to the old O'Hare, and jumped on my flight, which, like, you know, people are dumb. I mean, it's just like you get off the train and there's a bunch of people getting off, but people are just like walking all over, like with their head up their ass. Like, there's people that there's no sense of urgency or no sense of like, let me remove myself or let me make myself out of the way of people walking that know where they're going, or maybe don't have or are in more of a rush than me. But no, that doesn't happen. People just walk in, heads up asses in front of you. You're trying to get around because I was cutting close. I got to my gate with a couple minutes to spare before they started boarding, and I was sweating my ass off. I was sweating so hardcore because I like was racing through the airport. Plus, they had to stop me at security and check my bag. It was just a nightmare, but it all worked out all right. Flew all day, flew to Detroit, flew home, and lived to tell the tale. So, you know, that, like I said, like with the reading of the cards I did earlier that I got, was like, step out of your comfort zone, take that chance, trust the universe. Those are things that pop out. This was one of those chances. This was out of my comfort zone. You know, and it's just one of those kind of building blocks where it's another learning experience. It's another notch on my belt where, like, it's a level up, basically, if you will. Now I know how to handle that. I can handle it a little bit better next time. And next time I'll learn even more and I'll be able to handle it better. And what I learned at Printer's Row could help me at KillerCon or Scares That Care or one of the next Days of the Dead I go to. It was all like that. And also it's like a different level. You know, here we are at this level and we're selling our books at this major event. And it was a lot of hard work, just like the, you know, this seven of wands that we talked about. Like, you know, there were definitely things that were detracting, things were trying to take our, you know, fuck with our thoughts, at least mine, the rain. There were some people with bad attitudes, customers, not our people. Those are the challenges. I don't know. So that's why I was trying to say, I didn't want to say too much about Printer's Row while I was talking about the cards, but it really kind of folded all in together for me. And it was that experience, you know, just you're not going to be able to please everyone all the time. That was how the way I looked at some of these people who kind of gave me a hard time or were kind of like, I don't know what they were trying to be. I don't know, like overly intelligent or condescending just for the sake of it. But those are the people trying to pull you down. Those are the marginalization of, you know, trying of what you've done or your peers have done. That's the stealing of your success. You see, that's why it's all tied in. I had to like stop and say, no, I'm not gonna let that fuck with my mind. And I'm glad I didn't. But it was, like I said, it was a great time, and I'm glad I went. I'll definitely go next year. I hope to be up in Chicago actually before the year's end for another con if I can make it work. So I'm very glad I went. I do not regret anything that went on there, and I do not regret seeing all those wieners. All right, there you go. That was my Printer's Row recap. A lot of fun, a lot of good times. What a time. Don't forget that there are some new books out there, like I was talking about. Pick up Caleb Wilson's book. What's it called? Just fucking escaped me. Caleb Wilson. Just find his book. It's Castlevania meets Purple Rain, the movie. I can't wait. Polymer, that's what it's called. Polymer. Cannot wait to dive into that and let you know. Michael Alan Rose has a new book. Check out Danger Slater's books. He has a new one that'll come out probably later this year or beginning of next year or something. John Bruni, check out his books, and check out Uncle Johnny's books. You can always find my stuff on Amazon. And don't forget that my new book from Grindhouse Press, Scummer, comes out the 29th of June. You can pre-order the Kindle version now, or you can wait till the 29th and get you that sweet hard copy. As always, you can order from Amazon and get your books sent to you that way, and I appreciate that. You can also order right from me at johnwinisdead.com in the shop page, and I will sign them for you, send you some extras, and we'll have a grand old time with that. There's also the new shirts are in the shop. That's the only place you can get those unless you're at a show or a reading. The new John Wayne is Dead motorcade shirt and the John Wayne Awesome Dude for Life author shirt are both in there. They're both hot, hot, hot. Pick one up. And that is it, and that is all, guys. I thank you as always. If I picked up any new listeners from Printer's Row and you're checking me out for the first time, I certainly appreciate that very much. And I appreciate all the people that bought my books. I did pretty well. I sold out of John Wayne Lied to You while I was there. I sold all but one copy of Death Packs and Left Hand Paths. And I left with quite significantly less than I came with. So that was great. And so again, subscribe to John Wayne Lied to You. Tell your friends. We've gotten some more growth lately, and I couldn't be happier. Don't forget to check out everything I do at johnwinisdead.com. All the shows and readings are on the shows page. Everything you want to buy from us is in the shop page. If you are in Houston, Chris and I will be ripping it up in a big bad way at the Spruce Goose, the new badass venue that's in downtown Houston, this Friday night, the 15th. Show starts at 8, I believe. So come check that out. It's cheap. I think it's like $5 or $8 or something. What else are you going to do, huh? Come on, see us. And thank you guys so much. Hopefully next week my voice will be back to normal. I won't be quite so cruddy, and it'll be amazing. Bye.